This episode of Tech News Weekly is brought to you by Braintree Payments. Mobile app development can be complex, but integrating your payments no longer has to be. With Braintree, your business can accept nearly every type of payment from any device with just one integration. Learn more, go to BraintreePayments.com/TNW.
Starting Tech News Weekly in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Tech News Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by Suncast, as I meet you every week. How you doing, John?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, you know what? Terrible. I had I went to the Rangers game on Wednesday night, and I proceeded to lose my freaking mind. I don't remember what time I got home. I apparently went out for midnight tacos. I posted a bunch of pictures of my midnight taco adventure, one with some like weird eyeball thing. I got home around like 2 a.m. and in the morning I was just vomiting morning yesterday, because I decided that eating at the oyster and seafood bar at Madison Square Garden was a brilliant idea when you're drinking as heavily as I was. So I had a terrible day, but you know what? I am 5 pounds slimmer today.
Oh, good.
Silver
There's
line.
That.
There is that, yeah. Also with us, John Prosser, front page.
I was just going to say, do I not get a formal introduction?
Of course you get a formal introduction. Of course you do. My cheeks are a little rosy today. Do you see this? I don't know why.
My cheeks?
Mine.
My cheeks are always rosy.
Mine. I don't know what's going on. Probably from throwing up so much yesterday. It was a terrible, terrible day. John Suncast had to do almost everything. Yesterday
doesn't he always do everything?
All right, let's be honest here. I've been doing everything the whole time. For the past
hasn't Suncast been doing everything for like 30 years?
Yeah, well, I just look pretty on camera at this point. That's my job, and I'm doing a horrible job at that. So I can't even do that.
Isn't that
simple
the American
thing.
Dream, Andrew?
That is the American dream. Just look pretty on camera, babe. You'll do well. Guys, we have so much to talk about. Microsoft event, Apple event in 1 week. I was so out of it yesterday, I couldn't even write anything witty during the announcement, during the Apple announcement. I normally have all these, you know, comments and lines. The only thing that I did was take a picture of the original Apple laptop that they released, and I wrote, wow, look, the new MacBook Pro. It was the only thing.
That's more than I did. I didn't even watch the event. This is the first Apple event in, like, years that I didn't watch.
Yeah, it was...
Same here.
Yeah, you know what? Same here. I did not really get involved with it, and I was kind of glad that we didn't do the live coverage. But we'll talk about everything today. We'll get
of the way. That would have been terrible.
I know. It would have been really bad. But before we do that, let's talk about our sponsor, and that's Braintree. Maybe you're the next Uber. Maybe you're the next Airbnb. Maybe you're the next GitHub. Then why not use the same simple payment solution that these guys have been using for years now? Braintree makes mobile payments fast, easy, and seamless. It's almost as Apple would say, magical. And here's the great part of this. You add a couple lines of code to your app. You're instantly ready to accept Apple Pay, Android Pay, PayPal, all major credit cards, Bitcoin, and whatever else the next big major payment solution out there will be. Every week, there's something new. Every time Samsung is putting something out, Google's putting something out. They're changing the way that they do these payment solutions. Why not be able to accept all different payment methods? Because you never want to turn away a customer. You know how many times I have tried to use, let's say, Apple Pay or PayPal? Here's a great example. PayPal is a perfect example. I pay a lot of things over PayPal because I feel like in my life, it makes managing my expenses very easy. If I see a PayPal option over a credit card option, I will always click on the PayPal option. Why would you turn someone away if you could accept the payment? If you could accept PayPal or Bitcoin or whatever payment solution that they want. Braintree's fast payment and continuous support means you'll always be ready, whether you're earning your first dollar or your billionth. These guys are great people. It's a great company. It's very secure. And here's the great thing. You could check it out yourself. Go to BraintreePayments.com/TNW. That's BraintreePayments.com/TNW. go check them out yourself. We get the emails all the time. If you are using Brinchy, let us know. I want to know how it's going for you. I want you to let them know also. Reach out to them. Tell them that you heard about it on the show. I'm a big supporter of these guys. They're a big supporter of us. And I get the emails constantly from you guys. Constantly. That you're using the service. And it's made your life a whole lot easier. Braintreepayments.com/TNW. I want to thank them for supporting the show. For, of course, supporting a GFQ network. So, guys. Should we begin with the Microsoft announcement? Microsoft had an event. It was not a Surface event. It was not a Surface
event. Oh, yeah, the thing where they announced the thing.
The thing that they announced the thing. It was not a Surface announcement. It was a Microsoft announcement, right? It was a Windows announcement, and they announced the a couple things were announced, but the big one.
Technically, they built this as a Surface announcement. It wasn't a Surface announcement. It was a Microsoft event where they announced the Surface.
Where they announced the Surface, yes. They announced the Surface Studio.
Yeah, they built this as a event for creators.
Event for creators, yeah. You know, I have to tell you, and we'll get into this, I saw a lot of positive feedback from creators, from graphic designers, from just in general, people that are kind of into this stuff. I saw a lot of positive feedback from not, you know, the pundits, the talking heads, from actual users of products. So actually, they may be onto something here. Let's get into this. The Surface Studio was announced. Here's the Surface Studio on the Microsoft website. It's essentially an all-in-one. It's Microsoft's all-in-one. And it's intended for content creators, for graphic designers, for video producers. Suncast, go down the list of hardware specs for this thing, and then we'll kind of go into who this is targeting and what's going on with it.
So it has a 28-inch, 12.5-millimeter thin touchscreen that's capable of 13.5 million pixels. It has a hinge that lets you adjust the display down to a 20-degree angle, which is kind of nice. It starts off with an Intel Core i5 processor, 1 terabyte of internal storage, 8 gigabytes of RAM, a 2 gigabyte graphics processor, and it starts at $2,999.
$2,999 available December 15th. Let's see. The i7 version with a 2 terabyte hard drive will cost you $4,199, $4,200. This is not an inexpensive device, John Prosser.
No, not at all. But so in my show, I was trying to talk about it. And I think I was trying to talk myself through it. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think the price is bad. I just think our expectations are bad when it comes to Windows products. Because for years, we haven't seen prices like this. But then again, hardware is a very new thing from Microsoft. And there is no doubt that this is definitely a premium product. And I don't think that in this case, we can really base the price on the specs alone. The thing looks like the future.
The thing does look like the future of computers, and, you know, HP makes a similar device like this, and Dell makes a similar device like this that are a little bit cheaper. So you are getting, you know, obviously the design of this thing, and it's a major factor for people's purchases. They want a pretty design. They want something that's attractive on their desk. But if you have I'm not buying this device. Right. This is not for me. This is not for Suncast. This is not for John Prosser because we're not.
It's too damn expensive.
We're not,
for one.
Well, first of all, it's expensive. But number two,
if I bought a computer for $3,000, I could like get myself to the moon and back.
Yeah. Yes, you can. Well, that's my point.
It's like, OK, so if I'm going to spend $3,000 on a PC, it's not going to be an all in one. That's just the fact of the matter is that I would rather buy a MacBook Pro for $3,000 before I would buy this all-in-one. Something that I could take with me wherever I go. I'd rather have that over something that's something like the Surface Studio. Surface Studio is horrible, but I think there's shortfalls here. Whereas I think, in all honesty, the specs for the price feel really underpowered. The fact that you're only getting 8 gigabytes of memory, only 2 gigabyte of graphics power. To me, for $3,000, I would expect that to have at least 16 gigabytes of RAM and a 4 gigabyte graphics processor.
You know, well, who they're targeting here is the illustrator, the graphic novelist, the designer. This is who this device is targeting. And, you know, it kind of felt like they were kind of selling this to consumers, but the reality is they're not. It's still an enterprise device,
right. And
but it's a different type
of corporate.
One of
the problems I have with this is that they didn't – I don't think they differentiated this enough as far as, you know, this is who we're targeting with this. Other people were saying that, you know, this is really only for maybe 1 or 2% of PC consumers out there. It's really targeting a very small subset of people that are going to buy this device.
I think it's absolutely beautiful.
Oh, no doubt.
If I'm in the market for an all-in-one and I want touchscreen, I will most likely go and purchase an HP because it's going to be about $1,000 or $1,500 less than this. And I'm still going to get an i7, and I'm still going to get a decent design.
Yeah, I almost feel like they over-engineered the screen, and then they underpowered the rest of it.
That's quite
like,
possible.
Okay, well, we spent all this time on the screen, but then we just kind of forgot about everything else. And it's just like, well, we want to hit this price point, and we want it to be under $3,000. So this is the specs that we can actually put into this with the cost of the screen. And it's just like...
Here we go. Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready for this? So I'm on HP's website, right? They have a very similar all-in-one here.
It's not fair to compare this product to an all-in-one. You're comparing completely different things here. You're comparing apples to oranges, Andrew.
I am comparing.
You can't
HP's
compare this
to Microsoft.
Any other all-in-one.
You know what though? You're right because you can't do this stuff. But if I'm in the market for an all-in-one, I'm not going to buy this. If I'm in the market for a creative tool. For my business, and I'm an illustrator, and this is something I'm looking for. I am going to purchase this. The same argument existed for the Surface, where they said, well, a lot of people aren't going to buy this device, and it became a very popular device. I think this will be very popular within that group of purchasing. I think this device would do well, but I don't see this being, you know, the device in everybody's house. I do see them doing something lower end, obviously, later on with this device. There will be a Surface, not Studio, but there will be a Surface all-in-one. They already have the architecture set up, so why not make one that's half the price and sell it as an all-in-one for the consumer? John Prosser, final thought.
I think this is actually pretty good news that for their first go at this, the thing that we're complaining about is just the price compared to like what kind of specs we get.
I'm complaining more about just the price here though.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's good news though, because I mean with people like us, we could just be flat out saying that we wouldn't want to use something like this. So I think Microsoft at least
they made a beautiful device.
That it's just a little too much.
Yeah. Also
it's the price versus specs that really do it for me. It's the fact that they're asking $3,000 for something that feels underpowered.
Yeah. Very.
And you're only getting a hybrid drive in this thing. It's a 1 terabyte drive with like a small SSD attached to it or something. It's not even a true SSD drive. So for $3,000, it's just like, I really would expect more for my money.
Yeah,
I mean, yes, the screen is nice. The design is really nice. But when it comes down to it, the specs versus price really kills it for me.
So they also.
Yeah, I think that's where we're separated. Right. So as content creators, our money goes towards power. Whereas,
it goes towards performance.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Some other consumer, their money might not go towards power. It might go to just the fact that this thing is pretty.
Yeah. The Surface Book was also revamped. An updated version of the Surface Book was announced, getting released, I guess, in a couple of days.
Yeah, it's the i7 Surface Book.
It's the i7 Surface Book with updated internals. They changed some the way that the air vents work, right? They changed a lot of stuff on this thing. Just a refreshed version of it. Anything that I'm leaving out here? It was just a refresh more than anything else, right?
Right.
That's the way I saw it. But then again, this is my problem with Microsoft and at least the events that they've been having is that, in all honesty, I'm having trouble understanding the things that Microsoft is doing lately.
Who they're marketing.
Who they're marketing, the products that they're making. and the choices that they're making with Windows 10 specifically, and it's just like I'm a little bit lost, because, and I hate to say this, but I'm still in that mindset of where I've had too many issues with Windows 10 to actually install it on my main PC.
Yeah, and I understand that.
I hate saying that because I want to install Windows 10. My problem is that I've seen too many issues with Windows 10.
Yeah, well, I've had a couple of issues recently, but you know, again, we're very specific type of users that 90% of people are going to say, I've never had that problem. And I absolutely agree with you. You will never have that problem because we use very specific software and hardware, and we're going to have these problems. But for the end consumer, it's perfectly fine. They love it. Do you like the Surface Book, John Prosser?
Yeah, I've used the Surface Book.
I have too.
And they are really awesome little devices.
Yeah. It's still Skylake, by the way.
Right.
It's not going to be Kaby Lake, which I'm shocked. It's fine. It's a fine device. Starting price is 23 something, so it's not this inexpensive.
It's another one of those things that's just extremely pretty. And
it's
nice
very
to hold.
Well, yeah. There were also some announcements for the future of Windows, and they were really concentrating on the creative part of Windows, which is not as interesting to me as everything else. But Panos, man, Panos Panay was really doing like an infomercial type sales pitch for these devices. When he came out during that event, did you guys see it or no?
No,
I didn't watch either event.
God, I thought it was awesome. I thought he was just. I really thought he was going to throw in like, if you act now, we'll throw in a free, you know, something. It was really getting to that price. Let's talk about the Apple event quickly. Apple unveiled the thinner.
I want to touch on something before we go ahead. Because I want to get your guys' opinion on this dial thing.
Yeah.
That goes along with the Surface Book and the Surface Studio.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of this thing? Is this something that is needed?
I'm going to tell you something. I spoke to a couple people.
I'm a little bit confused by this product as well.
Okay, so
maybe I'm just being an idiot about this stuff, but I consider myself to be a creative type.
Okay, so,
and I'm confused by this stuff.
I don't think it's the way that you use it. I think this is for illustrators. I spoke to people about this, and there are existing products that are very similar to this on the market right now. And they say that this is a very important tool to have. It's a very good tool to have. And once you start using it and it works for your environment, this is a great tool. Microsoft is just capitalizing on something that already exists. You know, they things like this have existed for some time now. And they're just, you know, they're selling a product for creators and it's for artists and it works very well. One of my friends, she's an illustrator, you know, for comic books. And she was telling me how this is going to save her so much more time.
Hmm.
And she's actually buying one. I'm actually talking to her on Sunday about this. She's actually buying this because she's going to find this to be extremely useful for her.
I think it's great. I mean, once you've spent the money on a new Surface, whether it's a Surface Book or the Surface Studio, $99 for this little hockey puck thing is just a throwaway thing, and I would totally buy it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
The way that they demonstrated it, I thought it looked awesome. It seems like the use case, like I wouldn't even have to think about using it. It would just be natural, just kind of melt away in the background for me, which would be awesome. I think that for them to introduce a new accessory for this thing, this is definitely one of the best.
Someone in the chat room actually brings up, he goes, also for CAD users, for architects, for designers, you know, things like this. This is a very important tool. And I also think that the response, another huge selling point of this device that we kind of overlooked is the latency from the time that you put that pen on that screen and you write. The latency is very good, and that technology is not cheap to come by. You try writing on an iPad and you try writing on a device like this, you are going to notice a humongous difference in the strokes from the pen and the latency.
I just question whether or not they needed to make this device in the sense that, you know, here's my thing I'm thinking about is that they demonstrate this being put onto the Surface Studio screen and having all sorts of stuff pop up around it.
Yeah.
Is that not possible to do without it?
The thing around the screen? I don't know. I don't know if you could use a different accessory. I'm not too sure yet.
Not a different accessory,
I'm sure,
but
you
like
couldn't.
It's a touch screen. Why do they need this other device on top of the touch screen to do this?
Well, that's the thing.
Like, you don't have to use it. Yeah. I think it would just, like, you can use it to the side or you can use it on the screen. I just think it depends on like how close you visually need to be on that display.
It's just another tool, you know. If you're an illustrator and you use a certain type of stroke for the brush, it's just another option. I see it as that. It's just another option for you. It's fine. It's exactly what it should be for who it's intended to. Apple time, boys and girls. Let's talk about this Apple event.
Your favorite stuff.
My favorite stuff. Apple unveiled a thinner MacBook Pro with an OLED touch bar. Exactly what was predicted by some designer in 2015. Do you remember those like weird future MacBook designs from like three years ago?
Andrew, don't you remember like I remember when I was in high school, like probably ninth grade, there was a video that came out that showed, it was like a concept video, but everyone bought it. Everyone was like, oh my God, this is the next MacBook. And
ninth
like
grade, so I was what, like 20
onto the desk.
You were in ninth grade, so I was 20 what?
You were probably like 45.
I was
at
like
the
40,
time.
Yeah. So what was tell me about that that concept video.
It was, I mean, everyone bought it. We thought it was real. It was like a MacBook that shot and projected a keyboard onto the desk, and you could project like a full-blown Mac onto the wall.
Yeah.
It was crazy, and we all bought it. We all thought it was real. Of course, we were all idiots. That's beside the point.
But I thought
it was real.
What's crazy is that this is exactly that weird that prototype that this random guy on 9to5Mac posted, where he made this like future Mac. It's almost like they saw it and they're like, hey, that's not a bad idea,
right?
And they used that exact design. I'm amazed. First of all, beautiful laptop, as usual, super thin. They've gone very thin with this thing. It's about 17% skinnier than before. It's 14.9 millimeters thick.
Using the butterfly keys on the keyboard, right?
They are, but it's the new version 2 version, whatever.
I was going to say, because the butterfly keyboards on the MacBook are not good.
On the MacBook.
On the MacBook.
Yeah, not the MacBook Pro.
Right, the MacBook.
Yeah, so I'm not a fan of those butterfly keys, but they're saying that it's been revamped for the professional now. I don't know what that means. But here it is. It's
they put them in a MacBook Pro.
They put them in a MacBook Pro, essentially. Yeah, version 2. Screen is 67% brighter, 17% thinner, 130% faster graphics. I love that. 130% faster graphics. From what?
From the previous model.
So the one from 2 years ago.
Yes.
The one that I have. Okay. Now
yes,
it has.
But this is normal for them. This is what they say every single year when they release a new MacBook. It's 133% faster than the previous model that we did 2 years ago.
Yeah. So here's a demo on their website of how this thing
works.
That's
a very pretty device.
It is a beautiful device.
I think that touch bar is kind of sexy looking.
It's very sexy. And I'm telling you right now, almost everybody else is going to do this. Lenovo's been doing this. Lenovo had a model a couple years ago that had this, but not like this. It wasn't as sexy as this.
Can I address something real quick?
You could address anything.
Okay. So there's a lot of like tech YouTubers
mm-hmm.
that I follow on Twitter that were just like crapping all over this.
Why?
Saying that it's such a gimmick, just a little gimmick bar. But
everything
this
is a gimmick.
Thing is one of the most practical things they've introduced in a long time. This is not a gimmick. This is very, very useful. And it's pretty. That's also one thing we can like put out there. But like I think it was the perfect time for them to do this. I mean, it's an OLED display. It's the perfect technology for it. And just the integration of everything is perfect with it, including Touch ID in the right corner.
The Touch ID is great. I really like that. Everything is a gimmick. Everything is a gimmick. Everything that you sell is a gimmick.
This is so practical.
What else are you gonna do? It's a laptop.
I think they could have done this like 2 years ago with the other MacBook that they released, but I don't think the technology was quite ready for them, especially with them when you do OLED or whatever. So I think this is about time that they did. It is about like time. This is something that they needed to do.
By the way, I has produced a wonderful bit on CNET, if you guys want to see it, about what they've done with the new MacBook. If you guys want to follow that, it's on CNET's front page right now. I think it's great. I really like the design of it. I think they've done a good job with it. It's thin, it's sexy, it's beautiful, it's everything it should be. It doesn't have touchscreen. That's one thing that a lot of people are complaining about. But I am not one of these people that really is into the whole touchscreen experience on a laptop.
I feel like that's the last thing I want on a laptop.
That really, seriously, for me, that is a last thing that I want also. I'm not really crazy about the touchscreen thing on the laptop. That's probably because I've been using a Mac and I haven't used Windows with a touchscreen for a while. I use it every now and then, sparingly, but I still would rather, you know, use a trackpad or a mouse to click around. I don't want to go and do this on a screen and fudge it up.
Right.
I think it's a very nice device. Now, also, the interesting thing is they've gone Thunderbolt for all the ports, right? How many ports does it have at this point?
It's got four of them on there, and they're USB. Able to do USB Type-C, so it's pretty cool. You can convert it.
Yeah, USB Type-C, which is pretty cool. It's so thin, though. I mean, this is a very nice, very nice laptop. Pricing has gone up by about $200 across the board, and there are multiple versions of this. So they did something very strange here. Are they killing the Air? Have they killed the MacBook Air?
I don't think anybody knows what they're doing with the MacBook Air.
Because they made a very...
I think it would make sense if they did, honestly.
So this is thinner than the MacBook Air, by the way. This is thinner than a MacBook Air.
I think what they're going to do is it's just going to be one of those products that Apple continues to have in their lineup. And then eventually in 2 years, they'll just drop it and discontinue it.
Yeah. It's quite possible
it'll
that's
just be
happen.
One of those devices that they make legacy and discontinue down the road.
Education use or something like that, business use. So if
yeah,
you look
for
at
somebody
lineup,
that wants, you know, the Air that fits that those specs and that price point, it's there for them.
Yeah.
But it's not something that Apple is going to ever update again and will eventually make end of life in a couple years.
Which The Air is kind of fitting a weird position right now. So here's the way that they're going to be selling this thing. They're removing the old MacBook. So the one that I have, let's say from 2015, those are getting discontinued. And you're going to have an option of having one with the OLED touch bar and one without, which I'm very glad for that because not everybody's going to want that touch bar. So it's the starting price is $14.99, and I guess the Touch Bar, Touch ID, 2.5, i5, 2.9 i5, 8 gigs. Okay, so it's going to cost about
$2,000. Another $300 if you want the Touch Bar?
It's another $300 if you want the Touch Bar.
Okay.
Which I think most people are going to opt in for.
Right.
Nice laptop. You know, it's exactly what you kind of expect
great.
From them. It looks wonderful. Went with Skylake instead of Kaby Lake. Interesting for them also for them to make that move. Right?
Yeah.
Again, you know, these aren't performance houses. If you want to get one, get an Alienware, and you're going to spend the same amount, and you're going to get something way thicker and faster, and it's going to be a great device.
What Apple is doing with their MacBook Pros and other legacy devices like this, I'm calling them legacy because it's something that they're not as focused on lately. Yeah.
Well, phone.
What they're doing it to me, it feels like they are time testing these things now. Where yes, they do some incremental hardware updates with them, but at the same time, they're not feeling the need to rush these things out. Much like that you see with the iPhone every single year, it's something they have to do every single year with the iPhone. They're not feeling the same need to rush these hardware updates out with the MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
I feel like eventually, like coming up here soon, we are going to see. I think you're totally right because, like, Apple's been in a unique position where they aren't, like, doing terrible on money. They don't need to, like, kind of try to reshape the market and figure out what works for them and hurry up to do so. They can just kind of release incremental updates here and there. They've been really focused on mobile, but like I just reported this week that this is the first time in 10 years
they've
had an annual revenue drop.
15 years.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. And that's like, that's super telling with the direction they're heading.
Well, it's also the direction of the market, right? Apple was super sexy with the products that they were putting out. And, you know, as a PC user, I went over to Apple, not because that they're better, because I like the design of the MacBook, and that's why I have a MacBook. Now, my options have opened up tremendously. The PC market is doing really, really some great hardware with the Ultrabooks. They're making beautiful designed laptops. HP's kicking butt. Microsoft Surface Deck, Surface Book is beautiful. So there are other options for you if you are in that group that's buying aesthetically, that you are, you care about the aesthetics a little bit more than the average person. So you have options. Before, you know what it was? It was a shitty Toshiba or it was a MacBook. And you know what? You justified the pricing. You said, well, I could spend $1,000 and buy this crazy Toshiba laptop that's gigantic and hideous and ugly and really, really fast, or I could pull back on the specs but get something a little bit more elegant. It doesn't work like that anymore. The PC market has really, really changed. Really changed.
It had to.
It had to, and you know what? And that is the impact on the market. The same goes for the iPhone. The iPhone, the first iPhone, was something that nobody had ever done. Up to recently, the iPhone was still the most elegant and nicest and best phone out on the market. And now every Android manufacturer is making something that's an iPhone competitor. Do you remember the days when people would say iPhone killer, iPhone killer, iPhone killer? Every single phone was a potential iPhone killer. And what happened? They sucked. Now, that argument that argument is not iPhone killer. It's, is it as good as the iPhone? And guess what? The answer is yes in many situations. So the options in this market have changed.
The market has changed, period. And people's expectations for what they want in a device have changed.
There's something for everybody
now. Reshaped the market.
There's no one answer to something for everybody. I have this stupid Galaxy phone. People love it. It's okay. It's fine. It's Android. I don't love Android, but I use it because I have to... technically,
you don't have to, Andrew. You don't have to do anything other than drink beer.
You know what? Paul Theroux has been convincing me to get an iPhone. I saw him. He's like, dude, just go get the iPhone. Just get an iPhone. Your life will be so much easier. It just works.
It would be.
It just works. And I agree with him. But I like to play around. I like to have different options. I have, you know, iPhones in the house if I need to use an iPhone for something. But
you what you're saying is you are polyamorous.
I am polyamorous. I go all the ways. you know, again, the PC market has changed. The phone market has changed.
I have to tweet that right now.
Everything has totally changed. So a very different
all
Apple.
The ways. Yeah. Andrew Zarian.
New Apple TV app. Let's talk about that quickly. We're running out of time here. Stuntcast, you want to go into this? Because you're big on the TV stuff, too.
So yeah, this is kind of interesting, and I love what they're doing this. But I'm going to say this, and not everybody's going to agree with me, but this is not revolutionary in the sense that we've seen universal search on the Amazon Fire TV. So this isn't something exactly new. It's new for Apple, and they have done a great job of it, but it's not revolutionary. So the new... I'm trying to find it brings TV and movies from the boxes, various apps into one browsable location, which is a universal search. It's pretty cool that they're doing this. It can immediately start a video stream in an app like HBO Now without any intervening menus, which is really cool. So basically it's that universal search or universal app to find everything that you have in all these other applications. So this is very cool. It works with a lot of applications right now. But there are a couple of caveats right now is the fact that it doesn't work with Netflix. There is an iPhone and iPad app, so it's not exclusive to Apple TV, but it is confirmed that Netflix is not a part of this yet.
Yeah, very surprised by that. I really, when they said TV, I was like, oh my God, this is it. New device. They're going to work with Fios and they're going to work with Time Warner. They're going to work with all this stuff. And that's it. This is the set-top box. They got the deal, and I was so disappointed. I really thought this was the announcement, that they have all these deals with, you know, Comcast, Time Warner, and Fios, and this is your set-top box. This is the new TV app. All your live content is here. It's one device for everything. Cable, on-demand programming, IP-based programming, sports. It would have been awesome. My hopes went up to 1,000%, and they plummeted once they kind of announced this. I like the unified login feature. That's also awesome, but it was not what I personally thought it was going to be.
But again, it's not revolutionary. It's been done before on the Fire TV.
Well, yeah. I think now it's going to be a little tough for them to land the deal they need to.
I think so, too.
Especially with Time Warner.
Yeah, well, Time Warner is... that's the next story here. AT&T is to buy Time Warner for an estimated $85 billion. 85.4 billion dollars.
Yeah, 85.4.
Obviously, this has to go through regulators. This has to be approved. But AT&T has announced that it's acquiring Time Warner for an evaluation.
And this is not Time Warner Cable.
No, this is not Time Warner.
Clear that up.
A lot of people are confused by this. Time Warner Cable is a separate thing.
Time Warner Cable's gone. If doesn't I remember exist correctly. Anymore. It's called Spectrum.
Who bought Time Warner Cable? You said, John.
Charter. But now it's called Spectrum. There is no more Time Warner Cable. Gone.
Yeah. In New York, it's still Time Warner Cable.
Well, I mean, they're literally like the name is changing. Like, if you go to Time Warner Cable's website, the logo's changing everything. I got a text the other day that was like, "Hey, Time Warner Cable customer, by the way, we're not Time Warner Cable anymore. We're Spectrum. Yeah. Have a good day."
Yeah. Wow. It is. I just noticed that the Spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge deal if it ends up going through. And I'm actually very curious whether or not this will be done. We've seen some big mergers in the past that have gone through, but we've also seen mergers between two giant companies that have not gone through.
Yeah.
Comcast's acquisition of NBC Universal.
Yeah.
That was a success and got through regulations. But we've also seen T-Mobile try and buy, I think it was T-Mobile, or AT&T tried to buy T-Mobile, and that failed.
Think about the story here, right? Like this is, if you think about the legacy of Time Warner and how all these companies, you know, it's getting smaller and smaller and less options. That AOL Time Warner, first it was Turner and Time Warner, right? That was the first merger. And then it was that Warner Brothers merger. And then it was with AOL Time Warner that was probably the biggest debacle of a merger in history, right? Would we say that is probably one of the most botched mergers? It ruined a lot of jobs and a lot of positioning, a lot of content. The move gives one of the U.S. largest telecoms control over some of the biggest properties in movie and TV, HBO, Turner, Time Warner. Turner, Warner Brothers. It also gives them the right to broadcast MLB, NBA, NCAA March Madness games. This is humongous.
And this is why I question whether or not it'll actually get through the regulators.
Yeah, I don't know. It's still early, but this is a gigantic... So much for breaking up AT&T, huh?
Well, okay, so AT&T is super smart right now, realizing that like media is where we're headed. And they're everyone's freaking out. It's very, very obvious that cable isn't what it used to be. And the reason I think that this merger will go through is because this isn't entirely bad for the consumer. Like, it's not great that we'll have less options. It kind of scares me if this merger goes through. But at the same time, there's like a piece of me that would be okay with it because with this merger, AT&T would have the opportunity that no other cable, quote-unquote, cable company would have ever had before because they have these properties, and now we have the opportunity to get that live streaming service that we've all wanted for cord cutters. Because they have these properties, they'll be able to do it. And this is the only way they'll be able to do it is just by saying screw it and buying everything.
Yeah. This is a this is a historic merger if it goes through. $85.4 billion.
I'd love for GFQ to get bought out for $85 billion.
I'll take $85.
Yeah, leave me poor and homeless.
$85.40. That's my going price right now. Very interesting. We'll see how this plays out. Also, last story of the day.
I think John has enough YouTube money for that.
Yeah, John Process is a rich one here.
Do you want? Hey, can I have GFQ? When you want to talk about it?
No.
$85.
Nope.
Hey, Andrew.
My price for
$86.
Oh, now we're talking business. Getting
That's
closer. Yeah. Google to pause its fiber rollout. Interesting. Google announced on Tuesday that it plans to pause the planned expansion of its fiber high-speed internet service in the 10 cities that it's been looking into and eliminate a number of positions. I believe 9% of its division's total number of employees will be cut, according to Ars Technica. This is, they're slowing it down. Not surprised.
Yeah, it's been rumored to be having a lot of trouble lately.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that is due to not only cost, but also loss. And legislation.
It is, yes. And this is the same exact problem.
Those two things alone has been making it very difficult for Google to roll out Google Fiber.
Well, this is the same exact problem with Fios. Go ahead.
Are we all agreeing that this is Google's point with Google Fiber wasn't to roll it out all the way? Like, I feel that if Google really wanted to roll out fiber, they totally could. But the point of Google Fiber was not for everyone to have Google Fiber. It's to change the market.
Yes. Yes.
Put fiber in so many places that it forces other ISPs to give people fiber as
Absolutely.
Well. Because here's the thing. Google does not care in the least bit what ISP you have. All they want is to make sure that you have the opportunity to get onto Google services and you can do it quicker. That's all, that's where their money is. Their money is in advertising. Yeah. All they care is that you are on the internet faster.
Well, let's consider this. Just a couple of days ago, Comcast filed a lawsuit against the city of Nashville over a law that helps Google Fiber roll out.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. And unfortunately, we are so out of time. But this is the same exact problem that Verizon Fios had. And Verizon Fios had rollout issues and money issues and commitment issues. But a lot of the problem was the municipalities, where the municipalities will not let these different companies come in for whatever reason. They have different agreements with different ISPs. They do not want to allow Google to come into some of these cities and towns. And it's an uphill battle. I do agree that that Google Fiber's plan initially was to disrupt the market and to freak people out because Google has endless pockets. Freak all these different ISPs out into forcing them into higher speed internet and better plans. But at one point that shifted because they saw the attention that Google Fiber was getting and they saw the want for Google Fiber. So the direction changed, but now they're in a different position where they're saying, oh crap, this is getting harder to roll out. We're experiencing ISP issues like everybody else does. We're having rollout issues and we have to battle the municipalities.
Right.
Yes. It's very sad.
Very sad. So that's it for this week. I gotta get out of here and produce the show. If you're watching live, I'm going to be producing. John, John, are you joining me or you're out of here?
But what are you talking about?
Yeah, are you helping me produce or you got to go?
Do you need me to help you?
Just stick around for a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to be producing First Ring Daily for Therat.com. Go over to Therat.com. You can watch Brad and Paul Therat talk about this week's tech news. You go there. All things John Prosser. Front page tech. John_Prosser.
Everywhere.
You're everywhere, man. You're a YouTube star. It's amazing. You're beautiful. You're a beautiful boy. You're a handsome boy. You have a nice body. I love you. Of course.
And you go all the ways, Andrew.
I go all the ways. And, of course, Suncast. Where can people find you? On Twitter, right? At Suncast.
Yep.
And you're on Gunna Geek every now and then.
Yeah.
Excellent.
They should be posting the episode that I was on this week pretty soon.
Wonderful. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarian. You could follow our podcast where everywhere podcasts are available. Subscribe, guys. Please go ahead. Subscribe to us. We're on YouTube where everywhere podcasts are available. Subscribe to us, and we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye for now.